Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dave, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation by the side of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is December the 19th, 2023, or it is the 7th day of Thebeth, 2027. We will start our second service today. Eternal home.
I see heaven shine, that's my path lay on the ground. Don't let that light shine into my soul. I'll sing praise to his name, and I'll never be the same. For I make heaven my eternal home, eternal home.
Taken from Time of Greetings, Volume 1, number 31, or number 32. It says, the text of address by the V.T. Hallowell is March 15, 1947. And it's actually, the correct title for this one would be Father's Preferred Deceit, Children Given Grace. Okay, it says, we shall study the 13th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the very first verse. Here, as in the other chapters of the Isaiah's prophecy, you will notice that a part of the chapter, in this instance, the first 17 verses, speaks of the sins of the ancient Israel, for the fathers of the antitypical Israel and of their fall from the power but the remainder of the chapter speaks of the Israel and the latter days, the days in which the antitypical Israel rises unto power. Let us now consider Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith Yeshua, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin unto sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of the Egypt. Evidently, Yahweh's people in those days were guilty of these sins. Instead of trusting in the Yahweh to deliver them from their enemies, they trusted in the Pharaoh. What a poor support to lean on. As a result, they were plainly told. Isaiah 30, verse 3-7. Therefore shall the strength of the Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of the Egypt your confusion. For his princes were as the Zoan, and his ambassadors came unto Hanes, for they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit. Verily, as a shame and also as a reproach, for the burden of the beast of the south, unto the land of the trouble and anguish, from whence came the young and old, lion, the viper, and the fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches up on the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of the camels, unto a people that shall not profit them, for the Egyptians it shall help in the vain, and unto no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. This, as you know, is exactly what befell Yahweh's ancient people. How much better it is to sit still for the waiting on the Yahshua for the help when you are helpless than to solicit the help of his enemies. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. True, they kill the prophets, for they're warning the people of their sin. But Yahweh decreed that the prophets writings against the existing sins must remain intact to be read as the object lesson by the generations that were to follow thereafter. For Yahweh's people of today, therefore, have no excuse for the repeating of the mistakes of their predecessors. If they do repeat the sins of those who have gone before them, however, then their guilt will bring upon them even greater doom than was brought upon the Jews. And if no one can deny that Isaiah's prophecies against the Jews were fulfilled, then who can dare say that they will not be fulfilled against us if we fail as they did? Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. That this is a rebellious people, a lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Yahshua. Let's put Yahweh the Father. Let's do this again. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Yahweh, the Father, that say unto the seers, see not, and unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. By the killing of the prophets for their frank speaking, Yahweh's ancient people were in effect saying, prophesy unto us deceit. Tell us smooth things, for we do not want to know the truth about us. Does this thing still exist among us? Let me tell you an incident that will quickly answer this question. Just the other day, from a brother minister, I received a very kindly written letter in which he sincerely expressed his opinion of our literature. I'm going to omit these statements by V.T. Hollis. They don't have anything to do with our edification for the understanding of the Isaiah's prophecy. I'm going down to where we pick up on Isaiah's prophecy again. Okay. It says in Isaiah 30, verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One, Yahshua, the Son of the Yahweh, of the Israel, to cease from before us. Okay, so it says, when the Jews found fault with the prophets for speaking of the sins in which the priests were indulging, they actually said, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One Yahshua of the Israel, the Son of the Yahweh, deceased from before us. For the spiritual blindness is a cruel thing. Its victims can hardly be made to see either their sins or the righteousness of Yahweh. For they misinterpret and misapply everything that is intended for their own good. Isaiah 30, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, this says the Yahshua is the Holy One of Israel. He calls you to despise this word and trust in the oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Wherefore this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly as at an instant. For the spiritual eyes of the Yahweh's ancient people could possibly have been opened if they could have seen that their sins were undermining the foundation upon which they were standing. They would not have spit upon the face of the prophets for warning them of their plight, and did not. Instead, they would have welcomed the prophets, Isaiah 30, 14. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken into pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd for the taking of the fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Who dares deny that their kingdom thus fell, all these things came upon them only because they refused to hear the prophets, Isaiah 30 verse 15 to 18. For this said Yeshua, as the Son of Yahweh the Father, as the Holy One of Israel, in the returning and rest shall ye be saved. In the quietness and in the confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon the horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they pursue you, be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and the rebuke of the five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Yahshua wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Yahshua is a judge of the judgment. For blessed are all they that wait for him. Because there is nothing that should have been done for the saving of our ancestors from the shame, Yeshua let the nations beat his people and scatter them unto the four winds. He nevertheless left the promise that he would wait until they, as a people, have gone through their period of the prodigality, until they, as the individuals, discover their mistakes and give the Yahshua opportunity to display his grace unto them. Those who wait for him are certainly to receive his blessing. With the 18th verse comes the dividing line between the account of the Yahweh's ancient people and the forecast of his people's future in the latter days. Up until this point is the record of the former, now concerning the promises unto the latter. We read, Isaiah 30 verse 19, for the people shall dwell in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, at the Jerusalem in the latter days. Thou shalt weep no more, for he will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall near hear it, he will answer thee. What is the reason that the Yahweh so patiently waits? And why does he promise his grace so abundantly unto his people? Because he is determined that they shall dwell in the Zion at Jerusalem. For his aim is to take them back there and to give them rest. For his purpose is to end their weeping for the hearing of their prayers and for the granting of their need. So it is that while the Yahweh's ancient people face the destruction, punishment, and desolation, we now are facing the restoration, pity, and grace today. We have the same promise that the people had in the Moses day, yes, a greater promise. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Yahshua give you the bread of the adversity and the water of the affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Although Yahweh anciently permitted the people's teachers, their prophets, to be pushed into a corner, abused, and slaughtered, he will permit it no longer. For the eyes of his people shall see the Yahweh-appointed teachers as they are brought unto the front. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn unto the right hand, and when you turn unto the left. There is therefore no need for any of us to go wrong. There is no excuse for the making mistakes that we ought not to make. Isaiah 30, verse 22. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. No, Yahweh's faithful people will not hold unto anything that displeases the Yahshua. Not only will they cast away all of the idolatrous saints, verily they will actually hate them. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous, and that day shall thy cattle feed in the large pastures. When we comply with all of Yahweh's requirements, then it is that we will prosper. Then it is that the devourer shall be rebuked, and the curses kept back from us. We should therefore now realize that prosperity does not depend merely upon the one's ability, but that it depends even more upon Yahweh's approval of the one's deed. Isaiah 30, verse 24. For the oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. If our cattle are to have the clean feed, then how much more important that we ourselves have the spiritual food that is winnowed by the Spirit of the truth. This they are to have, Isaiah 30, verse 25. And this shall come, this shall be upon every high mountain, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of the waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Obviously, when the Yahweh's waters of the salvation cover the earth, even unto the tops of the mountain, so to speak, then the watchtowers, the pulpits, that the people have on their own initiative built will fall. Doubtless the day of the slaughter is the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the Son, actually. So again, we are brought face to face with the reality that the present truth for the hour does one of the two things. If it cannot save, it destroys. Okay, it says, for this truth, unto which you are listening today, will very spread throughout it will, as a fire spreads in the stubble. Notice not who attempt to stop Yahweh's truth. I know that all such will stumble and fall and not be found, but that the present truth for the hour shall come on the earth. Okay, so Isaiah 30:26. Moreover, the light of the Moses shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of... Let's say it again. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day that Yahshua bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Were this not a figure of the speech, were the sun actually to become seven times better than it is, or hotter than it is? Let's do that again. Were this not a figure of the speech, were the sun actually to become seven times hotter than it is, then the earth itself would go into the flames. Obviously, the sun in this instance is used figuratively for the illustrating of the that the light of the Yahweh's word now, while he is binding up the wound of his people, is for the increasing of the sevenfold with all the light that there is will burst upon the earth as does the sun after a cloudy day. Moreover, the moon, as a symbol of the church, that will be the house of David, the agency in the 12th parabolic hour, for the agency which reflects the rays of the sun into the dark places of the earth, will as a result accommodate the people, not much better than she has hitherto for, but perfectly. Already we see the light of the Yahweh's word rising higher and higher with each passing week. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of the Yahshua cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a divine fire. Look, commands the Yahshua, for the unveiling of these truths indicates but the one thing, that we are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, as the day in which there shall be but one, one king, one Savior and Redeemer, and his name is Yahshua, and his name will be One. Isaiah 30:28. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach unto the midst of the neck for the sifting of the nation with the sieve of there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err, for the Yahshua breath, his written word, will rise, revealed truth will increase, up and up until it shall reach into the midst of the neck, as it were, for the sifting of the nation, for the vain shall fall, but the humble, those that wait for the Yahshua, shall stand. Isaiah 30:29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart is when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahshua, unto the mighty one which of the Israel, that is Yahshua. He's also called not only the Holy One of Israel, but he's also called the Mighty One of Israel. Yes, the rejecters of the Yahweh's word may lament and gnash their teeth in the outer darkness, but the obedient, those who wait for the Yahshua, shall sing as when a holy solemnity is kept, and shall, as it were, play with a pipe, instruments, to come into the mountain kingdom of the Yahshua. Isaiah 30, verse 30. And the Yahshua shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flames of a devouring fire, with the scattering and tempest and hailstone. For Yahweh is about to thus manifest his power and vindicate his cause, for the days of his songs are almost past. Isaiah 30, verse 31 to 33. For through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, that smote with the rod, and in every place where the ground of staff shall stand, that the Yahshua shall say, lay upon them. They shall be with the tabrets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will he fight with it. For Topheth is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared, and he hath made it deep and large, for the powder of his fire, and much weed, for the breath of the Yahshua, like a stream of the brimstone, doth kindle it. If the Yahweh's people in the ancient days had believed what the prophets told them, what a difference they would have made, for their mistakes must now become our knowledge, our stepping stones of the escape. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, like Yahweh the Father appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua priest, as well as unto them. But the word priest did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant with them that heard it. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying unto David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, verse 1, 2 and 7. For our forefathers preferred deceit. We, though, ought to now gladly respond unto their merciful plea and thus obtain grace. This brings the end of number 31, time to read volume 1. Let's close now. Actually, this ends the first half of this sermon with 31 minutes and 36 seconds for Tommy Green, number 32. We're going to go ahead now and add number 33, Tommy Green, volume 1, to this sermon, entitled the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance.
Take the name of Yahshua with you.
Take the name of Yahshua with you. Out of sorrow and of woe, it lives, joy and comfort give you. Take him then where you go. Praise his name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Praise his name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Make the name of Yahshua heaven as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name and prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Yahshua, how it thrills our soul with joy. When his loving heart receiveth, and his sons are tongues in God. Precious name, O Hasid. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O Hasid. Hope of earth.